Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, what is going on? It is the Greg Squirrel Show on the air right here on a great, semi-great Sunday night. We're coming at you live for the next 30 minutes right here on Blog Talk Radio. So I want to give a big shout out to everybody. Say how you was. Thoughts and prayers are going out to still got the folks down in Houston recovering from Hurricane Harvey. And now we got the folks over in Florida recovering from Hurricane Irma. And we got Jose. He's still kind of hanging out there in the Atlantic. And thoughts and prayers go down to the folks in Mexico. Big earthquake hit down there. So just a lot of stuff going on. What can you say about it? Phone lines are open, 914-205-5548. If you want to talk sports, then now is the time to do it because we are on the air for the next 27 minutes. So make sure you get on here. Putting things online, phone lines are open. So call in now. I was hoping to hear from my boy Clint Davis tonight. Finally getting everything worked out, so he now knows when I'm on the air, and that way he can do a little call you in was, and like I say, just talk some sports. I am ready. Had some ups, had some downs this weekend. You know, I did go. I went 2 for 3 for my football. Cowboys won tonight. They beat the New York Giants, and we'll go over that. Kansas City, you know, they won Thursday night, so we'll discuss that. Talk a little UFC. They had a big show Saturday night, so we're going to hit on that a little bit, try to squeeze as much as possible into the next 25 minutes right here on the Greg Squirrel Show. Do got the chat room up and running, and so like I say, if you want to call chat, if you're listening and you want to get in on the chat room, we do got it going. Once again, the phone lines are open, 914-205-5448. So let's jump right in the middle to it. Let's start out in the NFL. We got the scores right here. So let's jump into week one of the NFL. Got two Monday night games coming up. New Orleans at Minnesota and LA Chargers at Denver. So got a double shot coming at you for NFL Monday Night Football. So make sure you check one of those games out. Here we go. New England, as I mentioned, Friday night, New England 42, New England 27. Buffalo 21, New York Jets 12, Baltimore Ravens blitz the Cincinnati Bengals 20-0, Atlanta Falcons 23, Chicago Bears 17, Pittsburgh Steelers 21, Cleveland Browns 18, And one of the better matchups of the day, Detroit Lions 35, Arizona 23. Do not let that score fool you. Arizona has a very good team this year, so keep an eye out for them. Oakland Raiders 26, Tennessee 6, Philadelphia 30, Washington 17, Jacksonville 29, Houston 7. Big upset, what I consider a big upset, L.A. Rams 46, Indianapolis Colts 9, Packers 17, Seattle 9. That score right there is a very tricky score. And a reason I say that is because I watched most of that game today, and Aaron Rodgers did not look good at all. That score was very, like I say, Aaron Rodgers didn't look good. So I don't know how they managed to pull that game out. I watched that game, and just very deceiving. Carolina 3, San Francisco 3, and of course the Sunday night matchup, you had the Dallas Cowboys 19, New York Giants 3. Just a quick thought, quick hits on that game. Prescott looked good. He looked very quick, very cool under pressure. Did go down a couple of times, but for the most part, he really looked good. So keep an eye on the Cowboys. This could be their year. 914-205-5448. So that's my quick hits on the NFL. Don't forget the big Monday night matchups. After the first week, Buffalo leading the AFC East. And they are in sole possession. Oakland and Kansas City tied for the lead in the West. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, AFC North, and Jacksonville in the AFC South. In the NFC, after the first week in Philly and Dallas, ahead of the NFC East, LA Rams, believe it or not, leading the West. First, it's just the first week, but we're having fun with it. And the NFC North, Detroit, Green Bay. And in the NFC South, South Kakalaka and Atlanta. So, it was the first week. So a lot of the teams getting in there under first game pressure. So let's talk more in a couple of weeks. When they got two or three, four games under their belt, see how they look for there. Once again, phone lines are open, 914-205-5448. So who are we going to get to call in tonight? I am ready. My phone lines are open. I am ready for some guests. People are commenting on the Facebook post. It's under my personal Facebook post, Gregory Squirrel. I don't have one set up for the Greg Squirrel Show, trying to decide if I want to do that. But and says, OMG, the world is so screwed up. And I asked her why, and she has not replied. So we'll wait to hear back from her. Hopefully she will explain her comment on my Facebook page. All right, let's jump over and look at some college football scores. Here we go. Oklahoma State Cowboys 44, South Alabama 7, Louisville Cardinals 47, North Carolina Tar Heels 35, Kansas State 55, Charlotte 49ers 7, Michigan 36, Cincinnati 14, Wisconsin, 31. Florida Atlantic, 14. 31-14. Virginia Tech, 27. Delaware Fighting Blue Hens, 0. Penn State Nittany Lions, 33. Pittsburgh, 14. Keep an eye on Penn State this year. I expect to see some good stuff out of them. They're ranked in the top five, and I expect to see some good stuff out of them. Alabama, let's see here. Let's go on down. Let's see here. Washington, 63. Montana Grizzlies, 7. USC Trojans, 42. Stanford, 24. And Washington State Cougars, 47. Boise State Broncos, 44. Very high scoring affair there. Now, let's jump over here and let's look at the SEC. Florida and Northern Colorado, they were postponed due to the hurricanes. Let's look at the SEC scores. Kentucky Wildcats, 27. Eastern Kentucky, 16. Ole Miss Rebels, 45. Tennessee Martin, 23. Alabama, 41. Fresno State, 10. Tennessee, 42. Indiana State, 7. Vanderbilt, 42. Alabama A&M, 0. South Carolina, 31. Missouri, 13. Clemson, 14. Auburn, 6. Texas A&M, 24. Nichols, 24-14. Texas A&M. Mississippi State, 57. Louisiana Tech, 21. LSU, 45. Tennessee Chattanooga, 10. And the Georgia Bulldogs over the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, 20-19. And in the disappointment of the weekend, TCU 28, Arkansas 7. Once again, phone lines are open, 914-205-5448. If you want to call in and, you know, let's expound on everything. I dare to read a comment. Frank Ragnow. Apparently, they had a players' meeting after the game, and Frank Ragnow, who's one of the captains, he just flat told the boys, "You know, we got to stop talking about it and start doing it." And that kind of gives me some optimism. I mean, he stood up for the coaches. He, you know. And I don't think Ragnow would do that. You know, I've got to meet Ragnow. And he just strikes me as a very level-headed kid. And he just flat stood up and told the locker room, I said, that, hey, we're not here to talk. We're here to play football. And so we got to get this thing turned around. So, so that gives me some optimism when the players are realizing what's going on and they start stepping up to get, you know, putting the other guys on notice. And, you know, even I mentioned the other night, I not only think it's the players, I think the coaches need to start playing with some balls. You know, we're sitting there 4th and 1 and we're punting. Or we're kicking field goals. I mean, do you have 4th and 1, 4th and less than 1? Do you not have enough confidence in your team to get 1 yard, fullback blast or halfback blast right up the middle? Come on. And then when you do kick the field goals, it clanks off the upright. Sounds like somebody hit a gong or something. But, you know, Coach Bielema, in his post-game news conference, he just flat said if he has anything to say about it, that Cole Hedlund won't ever kick another field goal while he's at Arkansas. He couldn't get the job done. He hit 95% during the spring practice, during your fall practices, and then you choke when you get in the game, and those are chip shots. You're one of the top 10 kickers in the country coming out of high school, and you sit there and tell me that you can't hit a little 20, 25 yard chip shot equivalent to a field goal? I mean, come on, let's get real. You know, Arkansas has a week off, so I can't remember too many really serious injuries coming out of the game. So, you know, the Hogs will, you know, they got this coming weekend off. Then we get ready and we go to Jerry World and Texas A&M. And this is going to be one of them helter-skelter games that, I mean, who's going, what team's going to show up? Is it going to be the same old Arkansas Razorback showing up? Or are we going to have somebody show up that wants to play football? So we're just going to have to see on that one, guys. I want to know what you think. If you're listening and you want to comment on this, 914-205-5448. I'm putting a message on the Facebook page right now. You know, right now we're talking Razorback football. We're going to give this a little bit of time. See if anybody wants to comment on this. I mean, I want to know what everybody else thinks. I've heard the comments on this talk shows. I've read the Facebook post. So don't be afraid to call in here. Let me know what you think. Phone lines are open. We got about 10 minutes. We can spend the rest of the show talking about that. Or we can go ahead and talk about other stuff. So, you know, I really don't know what to think about that game. So anyway, let's jump over here. Let's see here. Okay. Got about 11 minutes left in the show. Still working on getting things going to take the Greg Squirrel Show to at least an hour, maybe even longer. You know, we'll just have to see how the response goes. But I'm just looking forward to being able to go longer, being able to have everybody call in that wants to call in. And let's talk sports. All right. So, UFC. Let's talk UFC real quick. Let's jump over here. Talk some MMA. Had a really good show. Amanda Nunes retained her title via split decisions. So, I didn't see the fight personally, but from what I hear, it was a very good fight. At the UFC 215 main event, I think it's great that they're putting the girls in the main event, letting the world show that the girls can get in that cage too. You know, a lot of people that know me know that I do ring announcing for MMA events throughout the Central States region. And, I mean, the girls put on just as good a fight, if not better, than the boys. I mean, I know some of my MMA buddies are out there probably listening. Don't take it personal. But the girls get out there and get with it. Matter of fact, just received confirmation today that let's see here. Let me find it. Did just receive confirmation today. Be making my return to Springfield, Missouri. Adrenaline Fight League. That show's coming up. We've got two shows. They're going to try to get in two more shows before the end of the year. Cassville, Missouri at Connors State College, October 14th in Cassville, Missouri. So, and then November 11th going to be back in Springfield. So looking forward to that. And then still got my show. As I mentioned earlier, I still have my events coming up September 22nd. Going to be returning back to Memphis, Tennessee. And I'm putting a message. And I'm trying to see if there's anybody out there listening that might have attended the big boxing event. Wes Snowfire, Cherokee Warrior. Was in action in Muskogee, Oklahoma. Had a great boxing event over there, so I wanted to get that put on the Facebook page. But got about 7 minutes, a little over 8 minutes left in the show, about 8:25. So September 22nd, Attitude MMA in Memphis, Tennessee, and then the next night, September 23rd, I travel from Memphis to Atoka, Oklahoma. Going to be making my ring announcing debut with On Point MMA. My friend Time helping me be a part of that big event. So looking forward to it. Phone lines open, 914-205-5448. Anything we talk about so far tonight, people want to call in, comment on, I am more than happy to have you. So, let's see here. We got Kim, Melissa, Wendy, Brandon, Leslie, Brian Green, Tammy Caps, Eugene, Kelly, Vanessa, and Angela. If anybody else is on that list. Nope, that's about it. Out there checking out the Greg Squirrel Show. And once again, we got a phone number. Oh, we got a call in. Hey, you're talking to the Greg Squirrel Show. Who we got on the line tonight?
You got Brandon Lashley on the line.
Hey, big Brandon. What's going on, my brother? From a different
man,
brother?
My guy. Man, let me tell you what's happening in Razorback football, man. I saw the game, and I'm like, what is really going on? Did just Arkansas not play to show up to play? I mean, something got to be wrong. Is it time for Vilma to take a walk?
Yeah, I am torn on that. I mean, well, first off, we can't afford for Vilma to take a walk. Because right now his buyout is standing at about $13 million. So Arkansas is pretty much, their hands are pretty much tied right now, because with the expansion of the new end zone that's already over budget and it's not even finished yet, they can't afford to buy out Bielema. You know, like I say, right now that the new North End expansion end zone is about $40 million over budget already. They allotted that expansion at $160 million. You know, I've been around construction most of my life in some form or another, with my dad, with my grandparents, cousins, and all that. And when I saw that $160 million, and I saw the plans on what they were wanting to do, I'm sitting there saying, no way. Can't be done with 160. And then, like I say, as it turned out, reliable sources, they're already $40 million over budget, so they can't afford to buy out Coach Bielema. You know, but if you were listening to my show earlier, I was reading a column from SEC Down South. And apparently, Frank Ragnow, who's one of the offensive captains, they had a little team meeting after the game, and Frank Ragnow just pretty much told the team that, hey, we need to stop talking and we need to start playing. They have faith in the coaching staff. At least Frank Ragnow does. I can't speak for the rest of the team, but Frank Ragnow has faith in the coaching staff. You know, Coach Bielema, Coach Rhodes, Coach Enos, they have faith in that coaching staff. For some reason, the players just aren't playing. So for one of your offensive captains to pop up, to step up and says, "Hey guys, we need to start putting the product on the field," you know, that gives me some hope for the season. You know,
yeah.
I was feeling very down until I saw that article, and so now the players realize what's going on, and so you know they got 2 weeks until A&M. So Coach Bielema already said in his post-game news conference that the kicking game is going to change. They are going to either bring in a new field goal kicker or they're going to go for it on fourth downs. So we'll have to see what happens there. Give me some more of your feedback on this, Brandon. What are the folks down in the southern part of the state saying?
Well, you know, they basically, everybody's really upset at Bielema. The kicking game was off point. I don't know where they got this kicker kid, but they're going to have to work on something. Something's got to give. And as far as the offensive line, the defense looked pretty straight. They're not too shabby. It's just, man, everybody's asking now. Everybody's stirring the pot, as they say. They said it's time for the state of Arkansas to let ASU play Arkansas, the Red Wolves, and the Razorbacks. But I'm going to tell you something. They're going to have to find a big place to hold it. Everybody's running around hollering the Razorbacks can be beat by ASU. It's just been a big, big whole mess because, you know, I'll be everywhere. So, yeah, they really saying Bielema, time is up. They've been talking other SEC matters. They said why we can't be like Alabama. I'm like, now wait a minute. Now that's an insult, insulting to my intelligence. For us to be like Nick Saban them, if we had the talent they had, yeah, we'd be on fire. But as far as the Razorback, go ahead. You go ahead.
Well, you know, I've been saying that for years because I've heard those comments. You know, I live 15 minutes from campus. And I hear that all the time, especially in my day job. You know, I hear that all the time. Well, why are we having problems competing with teams like Bama and all those guys? It's like because Bama's turning kids away. Florida's turning kids away. Auburn is turning kids away. But when you're having to scrape the barrel to get kids to come here, Until we're going to go over, I'm going to leave. We got 90 seconds left in the show, so I'm going to keep the recorders going, and we're going to keep talking about this, Brandon. So, you know, when you're having to beg kids to come here, you're not going to compete with Bama. You know, I mean, and I give a big applaud to Coach Bielema, his recruiting style. He's not recruiting the thugs, you know. He wants quality people in this program, and that's how he recruits kids. When he goes into a kid's home, if he sees them being disrespectful to their family members, he walks.
Exactly.
Because he wants quality kids up here. Now, that can be a detriment because maybe you're passing up on a 4-star or a 5-star kid. But like on the other hand, that can be a good thing because he knows he's going to bring in some quality humans, not just athletes, quality humans. But, something does have to change.
But I'm going to tell you something. Now, I ain't being funny, but they call in Alabama the new thug town. That's what they call in Tuscaloosa, thug town. And it's everything. They know what's happening. It's hot. It's happening down there. It's popping. Don't get it wrong and don't get it twisted by a long shot. It's happening. But, see, that's all. If you look at it, that's what Nick Saban is recruiting is winning Ain't nobody no fool. Them boys is thugging and bugging. They running hostile and wild down there.
They are. But yo, so how many kids has he had arrested in the last two to three seasons?
The last three seasons is what was it, the record standing over 70 some?
Yeah, because you know, a good friend of mine, Robert Mann, he actually worked for University of Florida for a while, and he saw that atmosphere all over the place, Florida, Florida State, Miami. I mean, those guys could pull out a gun on the field and shoot somebody, and they'd get a slap on the wrist because that's just thug town, big time down there.
It is thug town, but you look at it like this though. These boys, they started what, robbing folks, straight up robbing in Alabama, tying up folks, pistol whipping folks. They got some quality thugs that can play some damn good ball. Maybe reverse the shoe on the other foot. If Arkansas got that kind of thug mentality, would people show up to watch them play? If they play like, the Alabamas, would they show up?
Oh, yeah. If we were winning, this is another whole can of worms, you know.
Yeah.
If Arkansas, first off, Arkansas don't need that new north end zone. We need this new north end zone because we are not filling the stadium. Yeah, we may be selling out, but that's money. You know, that's ticket sales right there. It's actually putting consistent butts in the seats game to game. And Arkansas's not doing it. And if Arkansas was going two, three, four seasons packing out that stadium each and every home game, then I could justify the new north end zone. But, you know, when you're sitting there and you're watching an Arkansas game on TV and you see empty seats, you know, I have a hard time justifying that north end zone. But that's water under the bridge now because, you know, the construction project has begun, and so next year we're going to have – it's going to look good. Yeah, you know, I could tell just by the aerial footage they were showing from the game Saturday, you know, it's going to look good, but at this point in juncture, was it a necessity? That's money that they could have possibly bought out Coach Bielema if it came to that. And I guess that's where I'm kind of getting at, you know, facing what we're possibly going to be facing after this season, depending on how the rest of the season goes, we may be looking at possibly needing to buy out Coach Bielema. But because we're looking at a minimum $200 million hole in, you know, north end zone, we just don't have the money right now. And then you jump on that other question. Who's going to want to come here? Who's going to want to come Arkansas seeing everything that we're going through?
Two names. Yes, I was going to say him. Actually, three. If they broke it down, break it down to brass tacks. Okay, if they would just forgive in their heart, man, and them fat cats would get off, excuse me for saying this. I know you might have to block what I'm about to say. But if some of them fat cats would get off their ass and open their eyes, they would see what's going on, but they really don't want to see what's happening. If they brought back Les Miles, even if they brought back, hell, we could get Chip Kelly down here, if that's the case. Or I tell you what, if they got Gus Malzahn to come home, he could turn it around.
Yeah, you know, two of those names I wouldn't mind. You know, Les Miles, Kelly. Malzahn has too much baggage. Malzahn just has way too much baggage. And I don't think Arkansas, as much as Arkansas wants to win, I don't think they want to deal with that can of worms.
What was his baggage?
I'm just being He's had recruiting issues over there. You know, they've had recruiting issues over there. You know, and the guy shows he's in outside of Auburn. Name me schools that he outside of Auburn. Name me college schools that he's been at for a minimum 3 seasons. UK. Mm-hmm. Auburn's the only school that he's been in more than 3 seasons. He was only at Arkansas State 1 season, and he did a heck of a job down there.
Yeah.
But then when the big program came calling, he was gone. So what makes you think that he wouldn't do that, come to Arkansas, but somebody – One of the bigger programs call and says, "Hey, we got an opportunity here for you, Gus. You know, are you interested?" Who's to say that he wouldn't jump on that in a heartbeat if things weren't going too good here at Arkansas? It's always the what ifs, you know. But you know, me and my brother-in-law, who's pretty knowledgeable in sports, we were talking about this earlier this evening. You know. I still wouldn't mind seeing Charlie Strong here at Arkansas as a head coach. I think Charlie Strong's a heck of a coach. I mean, I don't think he got a fair shake, you know,
no,
at
he
his
did
last a coaching job.
No,
you know?
Hell, if that's the case.
But, you know,
if that's the case. Yeah.
I mean, I think Charlie Strong, Les Miles. Hell, I'd even go to Stillwater and talk to Mike Gundy.
Now, I was going to say that. Mike Gundy, yes. I was about to say Mike Gundy, but I...
But here's a coach that's at... If I was an AD director...
Yeah.
Here's a coach that would be at the very top of my list because I think he's done a heck of a job. And I may mess his name up. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to pull it up here real fast. Let's see here. I can't even think of the coach's name right off now.
Where did he coach at?
Navy.
Oh, Keita Malalolo.
Yeah.
Malalolo. Yes, yeah. He played against Notre Dame. You know Notre Dame, my team. So, yeah,
Ken Amanalolo, or whatever, however you pronounce his last name.
Yeah, just say Ken, maybe.
Ken Niamatololo. Yeah, anyway, him.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, he runs the option, and I still think the option's one of the best offenses out there,
and it kills
the
Navy.
They do. So imagine now. Imagine this now, okay?
Yeah.
Imagine you get that offense. You get that offense down here with some real running backs, and imagine what you could do with that. Imagine, you know, Devoir Whaley in that backfield on that option. And plus, you got Cole Kelly, who's going to be the quarterback next year.
Cole Kelly.
I like Ty Story. Don't get me wrong, but I think the jobs is Cole Kelly's. I mean, the guy is 6'7". The Ty Story, quarterback out of Charleston, good little quarterback. Don't get me wrong, but you look at Cole Kelly. I mean, the guy should be playing linebacker. Guy shouldn't be a D1 quarterback, but he gets it done.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's 6'6", 6'7", 265. The guy's a beast.
Yeah.
I mean, he proved that when he came in those final series against Florida A&M. He took off on a quarterback scramble. And one of the cornerbacks or one of the safeties for Florida A&M came up, and they thought they were going to stop him, and he knocked the guy 10 feet back. I mean, Cole Kelly's a beast. So so just imagine Cole Kelly, quarterback in the option, and like I say, you got the freshman, but you got running backs like DeVoy Whaley. I mean, that could be a very work in some more, but keep working in some passing. You know, that could be a very dangerous offense right there.
You forgot to mention one quarterback that is coming.
That's right. I forgot.
Oh,
I forgot the kid. I forgot the
Gary Bohannon.
Gary Bohannon, yes. And
Gary,
you know,
Bohannon
kind of, yeah, he's from Earl, correct? He's down there
in
Earl,
he is.
Or is it Nashville?
You know, it's Earl.
Is it Earl?
I've seen him play.
Okay. Well, here's the reason I didn't mention him. Okay. Because you know, my day job, I work for one of the Razorback merchandise shops here in Fayetteville, so we always got people coming in. Arkansas really didn't start looking at him until late in the game. I mean, since the conversation I had with these folks, they have offered him a scholarship offer, but at the time I talked to these guys, he wasn't even on the plate at the time. But yes, you are correct about Bohannon out of Earl, Arkansas. You know, so
nothing but talent in his family. Let me tell you something. His people was like years on top of years. They got what it takes, and I'm gonna explain a little something to you. That boy been putting up some yards, some throwing that ball. He's quick and he is fast.
And that brings up another possible quarterback name, and he's a guy that's already on staff. It's Coach Enos.
Yeah.
I mean, he did a good job up there at Central Michigan. I mean, his quarterbacks were setting all kinds of records up there. So to get him down here in the big time, and the thing that impressed me about Coach Enos, and it made me think about that, when he first came down here to Arkansas, you know, those first couple of games, Arkansas was kind of off kilter, you know, because, you know, Arkansas was still based on the run, but he immediately came in and started going pass happy. That was the first time I had ever heard a coach say, hey, this was all on me, guys. I screwed this up. So now we're going to pull back. And it was after the Texas A&M game that he said this. His first year here, he says, you know, I tried to put in too much too soon. So we're going back this wagon up, get back to the running game, and then start working into passes. And you've seen how this offense has flourished because of that. They still rely on the run. Our receivers, you know, we got some young receivers, you know. So they've got to start running the right routes. I mean, that was the first time I had visibly seen Austin Allen just ready to choke somebody, because our receivers were running the wrong routes. Now I don't know if he didn't have the brains to adjust and throw to them, but he was still throwing to where they were supposed to be. And that's why Arkansas was missing so many passes. That's why our receivers were missing so many passes Saturday, because we still got young receivers. Because you got to admit, we lost some talent in our receiving core.
Mm-hmm.
But Austin Allen,